WNST, Towson Baltimore and Baltimore Positive. We're positively taking the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out on the road. I'll have these. These aren't, they look old, but they're new. They're the instant lottery scratch-offs, the $2. They're from like the 70s, but it's the 50th anniversary. So we're giving these out, the Maryland Crab Cake Tour, as well as our friends at Window Nation, 866-90-NATION. You buy two, you get two free and 24 months. Free financing all month long. I don't know what's going to happen here with Lamar Jackson. I am starting to call around to people who do what I used to do professionally, which is cover the National Football League from the inside out. This guy covered the Ravens. He also covered the Eagles. He's been pretty embedded down in Nashville, Tennessee, as they grow the community down there. And the Titans got Barry Trotz back now with the Predators. Teron Davenport's been our friend for, well over a decade, covering the National Football League, back from the Combine, just up the road. I see what you did out there, strategically located in Tennessee. You just get to drive in and out of Indy. But how have you been, man? I follow you out on Facebook, and I watch your work. We're all proud of you, moving onward and upward at ESPN and doing the work you're doing, man. It's good to have you aboard. Thanks for coming on.
Oh yeah, no, it's great to be on, man. Everything is awesome, man. You know, I cannot complain, not one bit.
Well, I'll tell you what, if the Lamar Jackson saga weren't the saga that it is, to the Players Association, to ESPN, to broadcast, to, you know, the guaranteed money, the Derrick Henry thing would be pretty interesting, right? Like, you're in your own little situation down there in Tennessee, and maybe even a situation where Lamar Jackson could be an antidote.
Yeah, it's interesting with Derrick Henry, and he actually foreshadowed this when he was on a local podcast called Bustin' with the Boys, Taylor Lewan and Will Compton, and he spoke about the fact that he's 29 years old and how that's old in running back years, and he said maybe the next GM's coming in and I could be the next guy out, and he understands the business, but I would have to think that there's a degree of taking it personal that he has, and those athletes like that, like, they always find ways to motivate themselves. So this is pretty cool, even if they don't trade him, because you're going to see a highly motivated Derrick Henry coming back for camp.
Well, I mean, Frank Gore, right? I mean, we could talk about veteran Adrian Peterson, right? I mean, there are guys that have done this at a high level. When I think of Derrick Henry, and you know, I have an Oiler thing, right? Like, I've had an Oiler thing my whole life. So I've been into collecting Houston Oilers stuff again. And I think of Earl Campbell, and I think of the tread on the tire and the kind of hard running Jamal Lewis, I think, is a mutual friend of ours, certainly a friend of mine. You know, what that pounding represents. I don't know what the Titans are. What is their identity without Derrick Henry moving forward? I mean, that would certainly be as much as an identity shift as the Lamar Jackson-less Ravens would be next year.
Yeah, that would be a huge identity shift, because this is a team that prides themselves on running the football, stopping teams from running the football, and winning field position, just the physical aspect of it. So you not having 22 back there would change things a lot. I know they like Hassan Haskins, the second-year player out of Michigan. This draft has some pretty tough backs in it as well, but it's just a different creature with Derrick Henry. And I think when you look at the quote-unquote devaluing of the running back position, that is happening to an extent. But Derrick Henry's a playmaker, and this league always values playmakers.
If there was ever anybody that was going to get a little bit of dough as a running back for a couple of years, it probably would have been Derrick Henry, given the way he ran. And, you know, injuries aside, and that goes for everybody, but this Lamar Jackson battle, and the reason I want to bring people like you on in expert spaces at it, it's not even about is Lamar coming to, or even what you think, but this is such a global issue for the National Football League, for the Players Association, for guaranteed money, for the way owners get together with owners and decide who's going to do what, like collusive, like all of this dust has gotten kicked up. And Teron, what I've said all week long is this is the original sin. This is owners against the Players Association, right? Like, this is at the top of where the money's going to go, who's going to get it, whether it's going to be guaranteed or not. And I remember back when you were covering the Ravens here, you might have even been in the room when Bisciotti got all chippy about Sam Bradford and number one picks, guys walking into the league and being guaranteed $60, $80, $100 million, whether they can play or not play. And then there's the scale of whether you can play, Derrick Henry can play, Lamar Jackson can play, and somehow we look up this week and Taysom Hill's made more money than Lamar Jackson. It's insane.
Yeah, I think you throw the Daniel Jones situation in as well. And for me, I don't know. Usually when a former MVP that led the league in touchdowns, touchdown passing just a few years ago, a guy with a, what is the record, 46-17, a guy who is clearly a franchise quarterback. Usually when those guys become available, there's a line at the door to acquire him.
Well, last year there was a line for a guy who was, you know, just had a criminal trail behind him and not these credentials as well, right?
Right. And so I think when you look at this, there's a line to say, I'm not interested in him. And just the fact that that came out so quickly, I mean, you have, what, six teams come out and say, hey, we're not interested within hours of the tag being placed. And that is what confused me. Is why would you so quickly remove yourself from the situation? It's not like this. So last year, I could see that happen, right? Because, hey, look, we don't want to touch that. There's legal issues. We don't want anything to do with it. Lamar is scot-free when it comes to off the field. On the field, there's no doubting what he brings to the table. He is a playmaker. He could throw the football, but mind you, he was in an offense that wasn't exactly the most complex passing game. We forget that he passed for over 9,000 yards in a pro-style offense at Louisville. Oh, and by the way, won the Heisman Trophy there. So I really don't understand the questioning of his passing ability, and we know what he could do when he runs the football. So it's confusing to me how so many teams so quickly remove themselves from any type of interest in him when this is a guy that has no issues whatsoever.
Well, for me, it's a three-prong issue, Teron. So first things first, I'm issuing this to you in Nashville, whoever the beat reporter, whoever the Adam Schefter, the Jameson, whoever, it doesn't matter who it is, whatever that media source from the team would say, all right, I'm sourced, DaCosta hit me on the back door, and this is what I had, a boom, and I put it out, right? So, quarterback, if you're Atlanta, you don't want your quarterback antsy, thinking he doesn't have a gig. The second part of this is the Players Association and the contract itself, where you got together with Eric last week in Indianapolis and said, Eric, what does he really want? And Eric says, it starts at 231. I mean, if you're not going to give him 231, he's not going to get on the phone with you. He won't get on the phone with me. He doesn't have an agent. Part three, Teron, he doesn't have an agent. There's nobody to push back on this. And as a bargaining chip, if the Atlanta Falcons or the Las Vegas Raiders or just down the line, pick any of these, your team, any of these teams are really interested in Lamar, they're not going to come out and say they are. They're going to come out and say, go piss on that fire hydrant. We're not interested. And that lets their current quarterback, A, sleep, because think about what happened to Matt Ryan last year, right? Like, think about what happened in New Orleans and all these places where all the rumors happened and agents are on the phone with ownership and Mr. Blank's involved and Carolina's involved and everybody's running under. They don't want that for their organization if they are interested. If they are interested, they're trying to beat down the price and beat down the bidding on him if they really want him. So they yell all of this stuff. And then the other part of this is there really isn't anybody to defend Lamar. I mean, the fact that he doesn't have an agent, I've been in business 31 years and I've seen all sorts of things. This to me is almost malfeasance in regard to his own money. And it's not the first time we've seen that. I mean, Le'Veon Bell, we've seen guys make poor decisions with their money. We've also seen Joe Flacco go all in and break the bank. And like, and I'm not managing his money or Marshawn Lynch's money or any of these guys that have done things their own way. Roquan Smith did his own deal.
And that's,
but in this particular case, man,
Roquan. Yeah.
But Roquan isn't hitting the market right now as top of class quarterback. And it feels to me like Lamar doesn't trust anybody, right? Like, he hasn't trusted anybody, but it feels like he trusted the union in a way put his case forward, and I don't know that that was the best negotiating tack for him. We'll find out, but I'm worried about him and his negotiation.
Yeah, I think it's more of trying to keep things from going the direction of guaranteed money. That's in my opinion. I mean, the agent thing, I get it, but, you know, it didn't stop Bob Wagner when he negotiated a big deal. It didn't stop, as you mentioned, Roquan Smith. He was able to So I don't know that the agent thing is as big. I think this is a different case. And even if he had an agent, I think this is something where we'll be in a similar situation because this league doesn't want guaranteed contracts. And that's what he's looking to get. And it's one of those things where I think the Deshaun Watson and Cleveland deal last year is a one-off, but it's one of those where they're going to look at that like say, hey, he got it, I want it.
Well, the money's there to run, right? I mean, that would be the issue is that there's plenty of money there that if the Browns can afford it, you can afford it too. And when I hear Bisciotti saying the Browns are stupid and we're not going to be stupid, this non-exclusive tag in this period of time, when you saw that, were you shocked on Tuesday when you saw non-exclusive in 30? Because he shouldn't have stepped on campus for 23 last year, right? Like he cost himself 20 million last year. He's already behind because he didn't collect that money and that money's gone and the injury and like all of that. But I'm shocked by all of this. I really am. And I think in the end, he'll wind up somewhere else. I really believe that. I just believe there are significant calluses here, as Dennis Colazzo said, or as I would say, bruised feelings. I just think it's very difficult for him to come back here.
Yeah, I just really knowing how much they invested in him and knowing what he means to that team, even to John Harbaugh. I mean, there's a chance John Harbaugh is not around if he doesn't come in 2018 and save the season. So knowing all those things, it's just interesting to me why he has to go through all of this. It really is. I don't think the organization should put him through this. I think a deal should have been done. And it's
But if he
unfortunate.
says 231 or nothing, then I don't know that.
But has he said that though?
I don't know what's been
That's
said. I know what's been done, and what's been done is he's been on sidelines holding up signs saying, "Give me money." He was out on Twitter. He held out of
But has he
OTAs. He
said
got hurt. He
231?
didn't play. He wasn't in
Said
Cincinnati.
231 though. That's the thing.
Hey, I don't have the team side. Trust me, bro. I mean,
Yeah, no,
I
I know.
know.
I'm not saying you do. I'm not saying you do, but I don't believe he said 231. I don't believe that he said that. You know,
I
then you
don't
have
think
the
the
report.
Ravens insulted him either, though. I think the Ravens offered him life-changing. I think the Ravens said they offered him 130, whatever it is. Not to say that he had to take that deal, but if he wasn't going to take the deal, to your point, agent, no agent, if he believed I'm 150 or I'm two, whatever the number he thinks he is, they haven't gotten there yet.
Right.
And then there's the part where he hasn't played at the end of the last 2 years. And the Cincinnati thing, Teron, man, you're on the inside of this. You talk to these guys every day. I've been doing this, since you were a teenager, right? Like, I just the fact that he wasn't in Cincinnati just let me know there's a problem here, either on one
But
side or both sides.
he
That's
didn't
weird.
travel to multiple games. Like, that's not the first time he didn't travel to a road game while
I
he's there.
saw him in Pittsburgh the day I was credentialed. So he was with them initially. Initially, he
Yeah,
was with them.
but I mean, there were times where he hasn't like that. That's not a one-off, if I'm
It's a
not mistaken.
playoff game. It's a knockout game. He's the face of the franchise. Simple. Like for me, like.
Yeah, I mean, I will disagree on that one. I'm not going to knock him for that. There's a lot of guys who are injured that don't travel, so I won't knock him for that one. But you know, this is the thing that's always, in my opinion, unique to Lamar Jackson. He gets treated with such a the white glove treatment. I would hate to be in his shoes because it's almost he can't do right. It almost seems like and. It just feels like there's a lot of like just needling with him on things that I don't think
Well,
are
he's
really relevant.
different. He's different on the field, off the field, represent he's different. He's valued differently. And I think for a lot of teams to have success with him, they would have to really change their program. I mean, the Ravens committed to this, right? Whether it was Willie Snead, the way they were going to run the ball, the type of offensive lineman that they brought into the program, either through the draft or free agency. He hasn't been the same without Mark Ingram to me. Marshall Yanda, when you lose a Hall of Famer pulling up front and leading, and a truly healthy Ronnie Stanley, right? Like, I thought they could win with subpar wide receivers because they did. But I thought when they took Mark Ingram away from him, I think it really, he hadn't been the same since for me. And that's
I mean,
injury,
a
that's
lot of
all of this.
you could say that about a lot of quarterbacks. You know, you take away things that are valuable parts of the offense, they won't be the same. And as far as like the scheme didn't have to be built that way. Again, Lamar Jackson passed for 9,000 yards, over 9,000 yards in a pro style offense. He's very capable. In fact, I believe that that scheme actually shortchanged him. If I was running that offense, you know, I would have spread things out more, allow him to operate in space. And then also that offense really kept a lot of wide receivers from wanting to come there. You know, people make the mistake of saying, oh, that's Lamar. No, that's the passing offense. It's very limited. It's not detailed. And that was something that kept players from coming. And I think it would have been perfect if he could have stayed there with Todd Monken, and then they start to build around Lamar, his passing ability, and Mark Andrews, and get Rashad Bateman to be able to be healthy and continue to play, get Devin Duvernay in space, get other receivers. I think that team, like, you know, this year, get a Quentin Johnston from TCU, and I think you could really be cooking. But now, because of everything that has happened, as far as the damage to the relationship, it's just crazy to me that we're at this point. I mean, you have a franchise quarterback. You do what you got to do to maintain him. And I mean, everybody's saying it has to be $231 million guaranteed. We don't know that. But I think they should be able to have come to some type of deal by now. It's confusing.
Teron Davenport's out of Baltimore, but spent a lot of time here in Baltimore covering the Ravens and then the Philadelphia Eagles. Now covering the Tennessee Titans for ESPN, the worldwide leader. Go follow him out on Twitter and anywhere. Titans are sold, but not Allers, although I know they have some Allers stuff in the throwback gift shop down there. Before I get to the combine, just state of the Titans, give me a little – pretend I'm Nasty Nestor doing sporting news radio and I get 3 minutes on the Titans with you. About to have a transition, well-coached, about to get a new stadium, right? Like all sorts of – the city's going through huge transition down there, if not the state of Tennessee. It's – that franchise and that whole thing's ready to cook, but they haven't had a franchise quarterback for real.
Right. And Ryan Tannehill, I think, is going to remain the quarterback this season. But a lot of the talk about him moving on, it's being generated from outside the building. From what I've been told, inside that building, he's the guy. That is their quarterback. If they were to move on from him, it would cost them $18.8 million. So it's not one of those things where you could get rid of him and bring another guy in, because now you're compounding that 18 to whatever you sign that.
Well, there's your Lamar Jackson issue, right? Like, they might love Lamar Jackson and just say, can't. I mean, we just can't. You know, it's too much.
There's things that you could do with that. Like, you could, if you were to sign, like, that type of situation, you could have that cap number initially be smart. I mean, look at what the Browns did with Watson. His initial cap number was $1 million. That was his cap hit. So you can do some things to trick it up a little bit, but for the most part, if you look at a lot of these guys out here, it wouldn't be as much of a long-term deal. You know, you sign a Garoppolo, you're looking at probably a three-year deal. So you can't afford to have that first year low. But back to the Titans, you got the Derrick Henry situation. Henry's 29 years old. Next year, they can move on from him, and it only costs them like $4 million. So they have to figure out if they're going to continue to be that ground and pound type of offense after Henry. So there is a transitional period that they're going through. The defense is in really good shape, but you mentioned the new stadium. And with that, that is causing, because they had to raise a lot of money. I think upwards of $500 to $600 million they had to raise themselves, the Adam Strunk family, to be able to get into this stadium. So, you know, when you sign a free agent, you know, that initial contract, the check that you stroke for that signing bonus, is a pretty big one. So that's kind of keeping them from being able to be very active in free agency. Once they release Bud Dupree, which is set to be in effect on March 15th, because there's some salary things that could get accelerated. That'd free up a good amount of money, and they should be around $23.5 million under the cap. So they could be somewhat active, but you also have the Jeffrey Simmons deal that's pending. And there's other defensive tackles who are going to be signing deals. So that's just going to influence that floor for Simmons and his deal. So there's a lot going on. Rand Carthon is a new general manager, first time general manager, and he walked into a bit of a hornet's nest. So we'll see how he's able to manage.
You're a Chuck Smith fan. I saw that ad on Twitter as well. And
Oh, yeah.
the
Big
Ravens,
time
you
Chuck
know,
Smith fan.
everything's overshadowed with Lamar, even Monken, and you know, the things that have happened here structurally that have nothing to do with Lamar, like Calais Campbell saying he's like all of these things. While we were on the air, they dealt Chuck Clark literally during this segment. They dealt him off to the Jets for a draft pick. But in your case, coaches, give me a little primer on that, because a pass rush is something going back here to Terrell Suggs that has been when it's on and Justin Houston's getting after it, but they drafted O a year and they've had some failures and some successes, but certainly getting after Joe Burrow here has to be pretty primary to what they're going to do if they're going to win in this division.
Yeah, it's imperative to improve that pass rush. And when you talk about Chuck Smith, this is a guy who he worked with Von Miller. They were doing the pass rush summit. And pretty much all of the top guys, they go to Atlanta and they work with Chuck Smith. And he does an awesome job of identifying what guys do well, what their go-to move is, and then working off of that and developing counters and things like that. You look at the drills and things that they do, Chuck Smith is the man. I don't know that there's many better pass rush specialists than Chuck Smith. He's been there and done that. He was a double-digit sack guy, you know, in the league, playing for the Falcons, playing for the Panthers. This is a really good thing for the Ravens. And that pass rush, like I said in that tweet, it got better immediately, and he didn't even get into the building yet. It's just better by him just being a part of that organization. You watch. There's going to be a lot of improvement on those guys.
Terron Davenport's got us in top five in sacks in the league. I like that. I mean, we're getting all this optimism out of Tennessee right now. He covers things for ESPN. Last thing for you, spent time in Indy last week combining. The one thing that I kept thinking about in regard to the Ravens before all this began, and I don't even know if you were there for the little Harbaugh and DaCosta podiums, and they love Lamar and Kumbaya and everything's good. All I kept thinking was, this is a really important draft for the Ravens in a lot of ways. They have five picks. If they deal Lamar, they'll have six, seven, eight, whatever they wind up. They just picked up another pick now with Chuck Clark. But if they are going into the quarterback market, if somehow Lamar's not their guy 6 weeks from now, then the amount of scouting they would have done would have had to have been on par with Flacco and drafting Lamar Jackson and saying, we don't have the 1-1, but how are we going to get a quarterback? And the Ravens have done this. They're two for two. And I think, Eric, if you were to get together with him at Prime late one night over the second glass of wine or cocktail, he'd probably say, we've been okay. We've been wide receivers, okay. My problem, which started the problem with Bateman, but on quarterbacks, they've done a good job and they found Lamar when nobody else was looking for Lamar. If they were to go into this would be pretty important for our franchise here the next 6 weeks as to what's going to come out of this thing come April 28th.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be really important. The wide receiver thing, again, to me, that is a product of the scheme. It just wasn't conducive to receivers being productive. I firmly believe that. But with
So did
Lamar,
Hollywood Brown, by the way.
what's that?
So did Hollywood Brown.
Yeah, that's why he wanted to get up out of there. I
Right.
don't blame him. I want to go
That's not
too.
Teron speaking. That's the guys who play the game. I mean, I said the same thing about wide receivers. Like, you better draft them because you're not going to recruit them in that offense.
Yeah, and even drafting them. I mean, Rashad Bateman is a good example. Obviously, injuries came into play, but very talented receiver. Just hasn't worked there with that scheme. And that's why I say it would be really great to see Lamar be able to play in Todd Monken's scheme, because I would like to see those Devin Duvernays, you know, Rashad Bateman's be able to really showcase their talent. And I feel like, you know, you spread things out and let them operate. That would be really good for them. But at the same time, you know, Tyler Huntley is a free agent as well, from what I understand. So there's a couple things that the Ravens have to look at quarterback wise.
Yeah, Tannehill might be our quarterback before time. Who knows? You know, I that would be the issue. If it's not Lamar, Then who is it? What did you see at the combine? And how much has it changed? I haven't been in a couple of years pre-COVID, all that. I stopped going because it just was a lousy place to do radio. Like they stuck us down the hallway around the corner. Nobody was there. So just it, you know, as an event, as a combine, it was fine. From a radio standpoint, I backed off of it a couple of years ago. But it feels to me to be still as relevant as ever. I know you were there all day, all night. It really is an incredible event for a job fair.
Yeah, it's still relevant. And from a radio perspective, if you remember where they had the bench press, that's now where the radio is. So it's literally just behind the curtain. You know, the podiums, you take the guys from the podiums to the behind the curtain to the radio. I think it's a lot
We'll
more.
come back next year if they let us.
Yeah,
How about that?
that's what I would do, honestly. But yeah, it's a great event. They shifted the scheduling around a little bit. I mean, it starts at 8 a.m. So the late nights and early mornings, it takes, you know, some dedication to get up, you know, in time to get over to the podium at 8 a.m., you know, after being out till 3. But I mean,
The
you want to
bartender at
think,
St. Elmo's is not happy about that switch.
what is that?
The bartender at St. Elmo's is not happy with that switch.
The bartender at Prime 47, they're still, and listen, people are still in there late. You know, I had a couple late nights. I wasn't going to do it the whole week, but it's still just the way it was before. But even with the schedule change, because remember before it started a little bit later, you know, 11 o'clock or so. So you had time to sleep in and recover and everything. But now, you know, it's 8 until about 12. And then at 3 o'clock, you shoot over to the stadium and you can see the drills and stuff like that. That's from 3 to 8. And after 8, that's when all the socializing happens.
And interviewing as well, right? So,
Right.
Teron Davenport, ESPN, please follow him. If you love the Titans or the Oilers, in my case, or just cover the National Football League, nobody does a better job of covering his team than Teron does. Make sure you're following him. He covered the Ravens. We miss you up here. I mean, you miss all this drama. You got your own drama down there, man, right?
Yeah, drama abounds, man. It's all over.
Everybody's chasing somebody. I mean, you guys got Jacksonville problems in your division now. We got Cincinnati problems. Who knew Cincinnati and Jacksonville were going to be such a pain in the butt, right?
Yeah, but that's the league, right? They want parity, and they've achieved it, you know.
Franchise quarterback changes everything. Teron, appreciate you, man. Happy New Year and new calendar year to you and free agency to you. Toronto's going to get busy next week. So's Luke Jones. Anything that breaks around here, including in the middle of literally in the middle of this segment, WNST Tex right here. Ravens to trade safety Chuck Clark to the Jets for 2024 seventh round pick per ESPN. There you go. I'll give you all the credit in the world there. Teron, you, Jameson, anybody, Schefter, I don't know who came up with it. Koontz for Baltimore brings that text service to you. And of course, the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery and our friends at Window Nation. We're getting it back out on the road. Stay with us. It's going to be a wild ride through this whole non-exclusive tagging free agency period. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking. Baltimore, positive.